stories that we heard from women and children really shone a light on something that receives far too little attention. As we've seen, almost 2 years since the escalation in Sudan, the conflict and the wider humanitarian crisis has created an urgent protection crisis for children. And as you say, with reports of rape and horrific sexual violence, it's infants, children as young as one. We recorded 221 cases of child rape last year, so in 2024. But as we know, with sexual violence in conflict and sexual violence in fragile settings, this is likely just a fraction of the true scale, due to the fear and the stigma and the lack of access to services for survivors.
Tell me where this is happening exactly. Is this mostly in El Fasher, these incidents of rape?
So this is really an issue that we see across all parts of the country. Certainly, we know that it is a very real threat to children and to women in those areas where fighting is fiercest, but also that is often the places where people have least access to the critical services in terms of support. We also see this even in areas where, you know, the fighting may not have been as severe, because the wider situation of the conflict just makes people more vulnerable. You know, when people are displaced by fighting, when they're living in displacement camps, even if they are not directly affected by the fighting and the conflict, it raises the risk of gender-based violence, including, you know, sexual violence, including early marriage, and including all of these kind of threats to women and girls.
Is this sexual violence forcing women and girls, and even boys, I guess boys are being raped too, is it forcing women and children to leave their homes?
It is, yes. We certainly see not even always the direct threat of violence, but the pervasive sense of fear can really be a driver for women and girls, especially, but as you say, also for boys, because our study, the reports that we found that boys made up a third of the victims of the reports of violence. And so it is a very real threat. You know, we continue to see that when people do not feel safe in their home, they are forced to make impossible decisions about leaving and about, you know, going in search of safety, whether that's in displacement camps, whether that's crossing borders to become refugees. So this is certainly one of the factors that is behind people's thinking when they do leave their homes.
I know that UNICEF is still there in many places in Sudan, even though it's dangerous. So what is UNICEF doing to try to help these survivors?
We are, you know, everywhere where we have access, we're working with our partner organizations. And I think it's important to really, highlight the incredible work that local organizations, Sudanese people are doing, establishing safe spaces, integrating gender-based violence services into health clinics, meeting people where they are, and then obviously also providing that medical care and mental health support, because, you know, these kind of attacks have long-term impacts for the survivors. And it's really important that it is not just, you know, immediate care and support that's provided, but long term. You know, but that's reliant on funding, and that is reliant on our ability to access communities where they are.